Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined on this podcast by my friend Haley Powell. Haley, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Nils. Thanks for having me.
So you are not new to the podcast, but probably new to several of our listeners, as you were on maybe a year ago. And you and I have worked together for a couple of years at Community Bible Church together. Will you share a little bit about your past, how you got into social media, and what you do now in social media?
Sure. So I first started social media by working at CBC. I was a social media manager there.
And Community Bible Church, for those that aren't familiar with CBC is.
Yes. And you actually hired me. They were hiring for a position, and I didn't really have any experience other than my own personal experience. So I stalked you on social media, and that's how I got the job. So I worked there for about a year and a half. And then once you made the jump to Dunham & Company, I started doing contract work with Dunham & Company, which has just been so much fun. It's definitely a different role of a different world of things that I do here versus what I did at Community Bible Church, but a whole new realm of social media, which has been super fun.
Yeah. So tell me, a lot of people have asked me in the past, and I'm sure you get the same question, like, how do you get a job in social media? And I think it's a great point that you saying you stalked me on social media. And I still remember that hiring process. And, you know, there were several applicants. But you, like, I think you responded to a message or reached out to me on Facebook Messenger about something. And I was like, she's using social media to interact and communicate. And it just stood out. And, you know, obviously it all worked out. So that was fun. So as people are looking for a job in social media, or if you even don't think, oh, I couldn't get a job playing with Facebook all day or Instagram, you actually can. Maybe if you use it to interact and connect for a job, you might be more likely to actually get a job in that. So social media, you did it for a church, a community Bible church, and you and I are both kind of learning this process. Now you're doing it for probably over a dozen ministries. What's different about doing it, and what are you seeing that's different going from one to many?
So it's so different. With Community Bible Church, I thought the shift coming to Dunham was going to be a little bit easier, and it was going to be kind of the same, because with Community Bible Church, we had a ton of ministries. We had men's and women's and sports life, and I mean, you think about it, we had it. So I oversaw those ministries. They ran their social platforms, but I helped manage them and guide them and teach them and speak into them. But with Dunham, you're really running with all of these different clients. It's a whole different world, which is so fun, but it's definitely a challenge, which has been a really cool thing, because each client's so different. They have a different voice. They have a different tone. They have different likes, especially, I know we're going to talk about response systems. They are very different. You know, we have some clients that, you know, we're a customer service role, and we have some clients where we're a ministry role. So always just remembering to put on the right client hat.
So I think that's the key is learning that voice. And so in many ways, you were the voice of Community Bible Church, which was very natural because you were actually kind of the age and demographic and, you know, of who we were kind of targeting with social media, where now each client really has a different target. They have a different voice. We have, you know, maybe politically, you know, slanted clients. And then we have some globally, and there's some very localized, you know, clients. And so it really is a diversity of clients. How do you go about finding the voice for each of those clients? What's that process for you in your head?
Yeah. So I think, again, it comes back to stalking them on social media and actually, you know, reading what they're doing. So before we onboarded some clients into responding for them, we would just study their platforms, and I'd tell our team, you know, just get on there and see how they're writing, see how they're communicating. How did they respond? What's the language that they're using? Are they more formal? Are they more casual? So just really getting on and studying how they responded and just what their wording looked like.
Yeah, that's great. So, and we're going to dig into that. So response systems is you do a lot of different things here at Dunham & Company, but you oversee all of our response systems. And so what that is, for those listening, is basically for a lot of our clients, it's almost like a call center where people are, you know, making comments or messages and all of this on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. And then you manage the team that's responding to all of those comments and messages. And then with those responses, you have to have a voice, you know, and it has to be personalized. It's not a robotic automated system. These are people responding to people, and you want to be personal in that. Can you walk through what that process is? How do you do what you do? And how did you build those systems to create those response systems?
Yeah. So I think it first started with what platform were we going to use? And we ended up choosing, we use Agora Pulse, which just worked for us. You have to think about your budget. What can you afford? How many clients are you going to be responding for? How many ministries are you responding for? So we found the right platform for us. And we are currently responding for 7 different clients, and that's 14 different social profiles. So making sure everything's attached and good to go. But then for each client, we have a response sheet. So on that response sheet, we have, you know, what is their voice? What is their tone? What are things that they want us to respond to? Things they don't want us to respond to? What do we just like? What do we hide? Or what do we decide we should delete? You know, what crosses the line? And then creating some just general FAQs. So learning, you know, what do people talk about a lot on their page, or ask what questions are asked over and over and over, and getting a good solid response down that we can tweak and personalize each time.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And we're hearing, and Haley, you and I have these conversations. It's in many ways, it's the wow factor, but really it's a wow factor for our clients that we're able to provide that service for them. But really at the end of the day, it's a wow factor for the people that they're serving with their ministries, is when they leave a comment and then the ministry is responding back. And then we share those responses with our clients. So it's not like we're responding and they never hear them. They still hear them, but we're functioning on behalf of them. So let's kind of backtrack a little bit. You talked through your process. The first thing was establishing the right platform. And what you mean by that is the social media management tool to use that. And so different platforms out there that people might be aware of are Hootsuite, Buffer. We're using Agora Pulse, as you shared. We've used Social Report in the past, Sprout Social, as you just said. What if you were to go back to Community Bible Church, what platform would you choose for Community Bible Church? And why?
So, depends on what they told me my budget was.
Yeah. Okay, and spread that out. If it was $100, what would it be? If it was $1,000, what would it be?
Yeah, so I've played on Sprout Social, and I love Sprout Social. Yep. But it's not affordable for everyone. And yep. I mean, we're not using it for Dunham & Company. We have one client that uses Sprout Social, so yep. I get to go on there and play with the back end of it and do some scheduling and things like that with it. So I still get to dabble in it. But I just think it's so user friendly, and they just have some really good cool features when you're responding, and you can talk to different team members within the platform, which you can do on Agora Pulse, which is what we use. They just have features that I like. So
unlimited budget, you'd go Sprout Social.
Yeah, I would. Yep. Yeah. With what I think they would have given me budget-wise, like $100, I would definitely go with Agora Pulse. I love Agora. I definitely found a few glitches in there, a few bugs, a few kinks. You can tell it's not as advanced as Sprout Social, but it does the job. And I love how you can still communicate within the platform. So if a church is using volunteers to help respond to things and a volunteer doesn't know what to say, they could... like I could tag you and say, hey, Nils, not sure how to respond to this. Yeah. And you would get the message or something like that. So it's just really intuitive.
That's great. So we used at Community Bible Church, Social Report and Buffer were the two tools that we used. Would you still, because you were a big Buffer fan especially, would you still use Agora Pulse over Buffer?
Probably so. I really like Agora. Yeah. I like the back end of it. I liked Buffer. The one thing I really didn't care for about Buffer was their scheduling platform within their management tool. That was the one thing that I just wasn't crazy about, the way it looked, and it just wasn't easy to read. I think I'd stick with Agora.
That's good. That's good. That's really good learning. You spent a lot of time researching those platforms. Yeah. And so that's for churches out there, really save yourself a lot of hours. If you can afford Sprout Social, go that route. If you need a more affordable solution, Agora Pulse is a great option. And I would say one of the keys to these platforms too is being able to create personal accounts so that you can really monitor who's using what when it comes to responding, and you can give people certain levels of permissions within those accounts. So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So you picked a platform. So we just talked through that aspect of it, let's go back to Community Bible Church days. Knowing what we know now, what would you do different when it comes to response and building a volunteer team, staff team, all of that?
I would have spent more time finding great volunteers and investing in them. So when I left Community Bible Church, I had a team of 2 volunteers that were killer. They were awesome. And I put everything into them. But I think if I spent more time like recruiting and finding that perfect person, I mean, they're out there.
Yep.
Empowering more people to help me, because social media never sleeps and the comments are always coming in. Just because it's midnight doesn't mean Facebook turns itself off. Yep. So definitely empowering more people.
What makes the perfect volunteer, would you say? If you were to kind of target, would you target men, women, younger, older? What would be your target when it comes to volunteer?
My 2 volunteers I had one college student, which I lost her right at the end because she had to go back to school. Boo, that was sad. I tried to talk her out of that.
Yeah.
And then I had a gentleman that was a volunteer. He was probably mid-30s.
Okay.
But I found both of them on social media. So I found my college student that was helping me on Snapchat. She was super responsive to our Snapchats. She would send us stuff all the time. She was just really engaging. And then same thing with the gentleman that I had working with me, but I found him on Twitter. So her sweet spots, she was really great at Instagram and Snapchat, and he loved Twitter and Facebook. So I found, you know, they both knew all the platforms, but they each had a sweet spot. So kind of like I got my first job with you, finding them. You know, if you need somebody for social media, you're probably going to find them on social media.
That's great. That's great advice. So look for who's active on social media. And I found this too as a church leader, is so often the best volunteers are ones that you go and recruit rather than those that come to you. And so go and find those active people and invite them to join you as a volunteer. And I think you'll often be surprised how interested and excited people are. And around online ministry in general, what we've often said is you can volunteer in your PJs, you know? And so this is a ministry role that you can do at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And response systems, as you said, people are still responding to Facebook messages, you know, and comments at midnight. And so we need to be available at odd hours. So that makes great volunteers. Talk about your response systems. How would you set it up? You've got volunteers, you've got Agora Pulse or Sprout Social. What systems would you put in place for those volunteers to manage and monitor it all?
Yeah, so like I had talked about what we do with Dunham, we have response sheets. So I had that for Community Bible Church as well, just some do's and don'ts. So our voice is always friendly, and then don'ts, like, I don't know, like we're casual, but we don't use slang or things like that. Just making it very clear how we respond, and then going through a good training process. So especially for Community Bible Church, it's a large church with a lot of followers on social media. So you can't just hand over the keys. You know, if you can't find a volunteer and say, here are the keys, go respond for us. So making sure that you have some good training done. I know with our volunteers, I had them come hang out with me up at the church, you know, whatever time they were available, they'd just come hang out with me and we would respond together. And, you know, I'd say, how would you respond to this? Or they'd ask me, how would I respond? And we would just go back and forth all day. Just do that a few times until they get comfortable and you're comfortable giving them the keys.
Yeah, that's great. So one of the things that we do at Dunham & Company that's really unique is we have hired, and this is something I did many years ago and it's carried over to Dunham & Company, is we've hired overseas in the Philippines. So we have a team, you know, I think we're about 18 team members now in the Philippines. And I mean, lots of reasons for that. And so we're creating jobs in the Philippines, but they're unbelievable. They're awesome, team members. They're really great at response. Would you recommend, and I haven't heard of this. When I began hiring a team overseas, I used them for my consulting work. Would you recommend a church considering hiring somebody overseas to help them with social media, or is it better to partner with somebody like Dunham & Company? What are your thoughts on that now that you're leading a team overseas?
Yeah, so I would definitely say put it on the table, consider it. It's not something that should be completely off the table. I have to remind myself, you know, I was creating some response reports for our clients this weekend and wrapping them up today, and I had to remind myself in getting these examples that we're going to share with our clients that this team is in the Philippines and English is not their first language, but they're so incredibly talented, you know, and I just have to remind myself, like, it's amazing what they're capable of doing. So again, just making sure you have somebody trusted and a lot of training, but I definitely say consider it. And then for CVC, I loved having volunteers on campus too, because if I wasn't available one Sunday and we needed a Snapchat or for Instagram stories or anything like that, they were on campus. So actually physically having someone there was helpful as well. So considering those two things.
What do you see, Haley, as the future of response? So as you see social media maturing, where do you see this all going? Because we've come a long way in just a couple of months. What do you see a couple of years from now as this continues to develop and social media continues to change?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, social media is never going away, and people are always going to be engaging. Yeah. And I think that's what people sometimes forget about. You know, they forget the social aspect of it. Like, you can post killer content all day long, but it's not going to matter if you're not responding to people and they feel unheard. So I think responding is such an important part to what you do on social media.
Yeah.
But where is it going? It's just going to keep going and going.
It's just going to keep going. Yeah.
And I don't know. I know for Dunham, as we onboard more clients, we're going to have to onboard more team members. I mean, we've got 3 full-time responders right now and 4 part-time. They help like with Sunday shifts when people go to church and things like that. So there's 7 on our team and a supervisor, and I'm helping them. I mean, and that's for 7 clients.
Yeah.
I mean, social media is never ending. So as we onboard more clients, we're going to have to onboard more team members. And
yeah. So, and I want to speak to what you're doing just so everyone can understand. I think the significance of it is we're providing for our clients 24/7 response to comments and messages around the clock. And so that people, when they comment, even if it's a comment that they say, amen, we like it, to make sure they felt heard in that comment. And so what we found is the wow factor that comes with that, the engagement, you know, that increases from them just feeling heard and feeling responded to is so big for these ministries. And we're finding this in just a short amount of time. But I think what we're also finding is it requires a ton of time and energy and effort and adjustments constantly, because even in a couple of months, things are changing and these platforms are changing. But I would say it's critically important for a church or for a ministry to be responsive on social media, because too often what's happening is ministries are creating content and they see social media as a platform. And so it's like, this is where I'm going to talk and you're going to listen. But social media is not that way. Social media is a place where we can start a conversation, people respond to it, but when used effectively is when we're responding to their responses. And so that's where it's social in nature, and we want them to respond and interact with each other as well. And so I think we have a huge opportunity as a church to empower our volunteers to do that. And so what we do as a company is we augment these ministries in different ways. Some of them have no volunteer systems in place to be able to manage something like that. So we'll come in and do it all for them, or some will, and we'll create tools and systems and processes. But it's more and more critically important to respond to all comments and messages in a timely manner. We say the minimum is within 24 hours, but ideally, you know, we'd like to do it within 1 hour of every comment and message that's made. And so there's just a wow factor that comes with that. And I think with social media, we want to constantly wow and think about the first time person before they even come to your church who can have a conversation in almost real time, if not real time, through social media. It's huge.
You know, you talking about that, I was just thinking about one of my favorite things that I did at CVC, I would post once a week, how can we pray for you?
Yeah.
When I first started doing that, for the first few weeks, nobody wrote anything. And I thought, you know what, that's okay. I'm going to keep doing it and make it this consistent thing. And then one week, finally, somebody wrote down a prayer request and we responded. And they would call me back like, oh my gosh, the church is praying for me. That's crazy. Or if they needed, you know, if I realized they needed some more help and could get them resources, I'd get them resources, send them a message. And that was really powerful. But my favorite time was I posted, how can we pray for you? Yep. And this lady wrote that her children needed new shoes and she couldn't afford them. And the next paycheck was in 2 weeks. And she was just stressed out as a mom. Well, the comment had been on there for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, but this is us months into doing this. So people know that we respond and other people are praying for other people, which was really cool. So the comment's up for like 3 or 4 minutes and this gentleman responds back, you know, what service are you going to be at this Sunday and what size shoes do your kids wear? And she showed up at church and each of her kids, I think she had like 3 kids, they had like 2 or 3 pairs of new shoes, which was like the most powerful thing to watch, just because, you know, I started engaging with our followers and then our congregation, our followers saw that we were responding and they started praying for people. And just to see the church come together like that on social media.
Yep.
Thing ever.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I think oftentimes we'll say, you know, we have a 4-part content strategy around inspiration, information, conversation, celebration. So often a church or a ministry is scared to start a conversation. They're scared what people are going to say online. And I think we should push people to have a conversation. This is church. This is about community. This isn't about a platform to speak. This is about a place to build community, and social media is the perfect place for that. We should be igniting conversation at every opportunity, and to do that around prayer is such a powerful thing. And I know, Haley, that was one of many stories around that. How can we pray for you? You know, time. And I want to speak to that. When you do ask for that, and ask for prayer or even ask any question, I think that's where it's so critically important to set your watch and say, I'm going to be on for these times, because we need to be instantly responsive to those messages specifically. We hate for somebody to say, can you pray for me? And then 2 days later we say, prayed for you. And they're like, well, actually I had the doctor's appointment yesterday. Thanks though. When we can be immediately responsive, there's so much power in that. I want to share kind of just my thought on the future of response as I see it. And I think it comes with the wow factor, and it's something that we're working towards here at Dunham & Company, is I think video responses are going to be a big part of the future of response. So as I think we look at Snapchat and Instagram stories and a lot of what's happening with Facebook Messenger, being able to respond with a video is a huge way to really personalize it. So it's one thing just to respond, but when they can actually respond and hear and see you responding, whether you're a ministry volunteer or ministry leader, you know, and I think this is a big opportunity for churches. If your pastor is able to even just take 30 minutes a day and jump in and respond to a few certain things with a video, and they know it was from him or her, there's a huge opportunity to just personalize that experience and personalize that ministry moment and opportunity, especially when it's around a ministry question. So that would be my encouragement, is look for opportunities to really personalize it and using video to respond. And you can do that on Twitter. You can do that on Instagram. You can do that on Snapchat. You can do it on Facebook. Use video more to personalize those response systems and response messages to those that are engaging with your Facebook page. Any other thoughts, Haley, that you'd want to share around response or social media in general?
Well, I love what you just said. I just can imagine, you know, I'm going to a church right now, and if I commented something and if the pastor sent me a video message, I'd probably fall off my couch, you know? Like, what a cool thing. So definitely encouraging other churches, go for it. I know a lot of people are, like you said, are scared of starting that conversation, but I think once you start it, it just, everything about it is so cool and so beautiful.
Yep. And you and I both are helping our old pastor, Robert Emmett, get into Facebook. So if you're not following Robert Emmett on Facebook, he's doing a ton of Facebook Live. We encourage you to go respond to him. He is also, you know, if you want, you know, a lot of people have always felt like Robert is this mega church pastor. He is responding to every single message personally. When you see a response to Facebook message. That's him. I'm going to encourage him, and Haley, I think you probably will too, is to do some video as you respond to those people so they know it's you. But I love, you know, some of the things that Robert's now doing with Facebook and what so many of our clients are doing. It's just so much fun. And social media is evolving in such a unique way with mobile video becoming, you know, even more, more and more significant part of how people are using social. I want to highlight before I go, as so many of you guys know, Jay Cranda and I, Jay, the co-host of this podcast, have launched a TV app company. And we're so excited about all the great things that are happening with tvapp.church. If your church is interested in getting on TV, I encourage you to go to tvapp.church. I also encourage you to go to the Facebook page for tvapp.church and check out the video of Chris Emmett, who shares his story, how they're using TV apps to reach people in prisons across Georgia. It's such a cool story. We love seeing how people are using TV apps. So go to tvapp.church and get more information about that. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Social Media Church Podcast. If you would, take a minute to leave a review on iTunes, and that would help us tremendously. We want to help more people to find this podcast and have more conversations about social media for ministry.